Okay. Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm really happy to be here today with the returning guest, Dr. Benfazi Elatrosh. He's going to be talking today about National Hernia Awareness Month. This is a campaign focused on educating the public about abdominal hernias and how to manage them. First, I want to welcome you to the show.
Yes, hi. Happy to be here again, and happy to speaking to you again as well.
You're always so good at talking to people and explaining to the public some pretty complicated things. So I appreciate you jumping on today to make sure people understand. So you are a surgeon at Independence Health System. Can you tell us a little bit about where your offices are and where you operate?
Yes, so I have an office at Frick Hospital in Mount Pleasant. I see general surgery patients there, and that involves hernias and a wide range of other surgical procedures. I do have an office that's also in Greensburg, but that's specific for bariatrics. But sometimes hernia and weight loss surgery do coincide with one another. So I think that's something that's important to elaborate on.
Yes, definitely. So, when people come to you, it's usually because, well, it could be because they have a hernia. So, do you want to explain to people at home what is a hernia?
So, answer is complex because there's well, I'd like to say many flavors of hernias.
Okay, well, we have time, so explain it to us.
So the easiest way to explain what a hernia is, it's basically some sort of defect where something is going into something else. When we're talking about the belly wall, so we're talking about people's abdomen, or their abdominal wall. There's several different hernias. Common hernias that people encounter are ones at the belly button, which we also call umbilical hernias, ones in the groin, which can come in terms of inguinal hernias, and there's something also called femoral hernias. It just depends on what space you're looking at in the groin itself. There are other more rare hernias that involve the abdomen that have very long names, and it has to do with how they are oriented in the abdominal wall, such as Spengelian hernia. People have heard of things called hiatal hernias, which has to do with the diaphragm and helps us breathe. In addition, one of the other common ones that we see is hernias that happen after surgery. People have had previous open surgeries and they get what they call an incisional hernia. The other things that can happen, even with bariatrics, stuff called internal hernias. So they're not dealing with the belly wall, but it's spaces that get formed after you reroute things in bariatric surgery. And sometimes things can slip in and out of there and cause some issues that need to be taken care of.
And so, can you tell me how some of these happen? I would imagine some happen due to exertion or injury, others, as you said, for surgery. Do you see maybe the top three, four, or five common ways that these hernias happen?
Yeah, so commonly, we'll start by talking about the belly button or umbilical hernias. In general, the belly button area or umbilicus is sort of a natural area of weakening. That's where our umbilical cord comes out of. The rest of our abdominal wall has different layers of what we call fascia, the strength layers, as well as muscle that can help prevent against that. But the belly button doesn't really have that, so you're more predisposed to getting a hernia there. And what can cause that? Pregnancy, because you're putting a lot of extra pressure on the belly wall there. Weight gain can lead to that. You can have people that, unfortunately, if they develop issues with their liver, such as cirrhosis, they can get fluid inside, and that can predispose people to getting hernias. So that can be a potential cause. However, sometimes for whatever reason, people are just predisposed to getting them. They can have genetic problems that make their tissues a little on the weaker side, so they're more prone to getting hernias. And that can, start going into the realm of inguinal hernias, which is another common one that we see. And that can happen from sometimes heavy lifting. Another factor that's important to mention is that people that smoke, nicotine can weaken tissues. And as we get older, unfortunately, tissues are not as strong, so people are more predisposed to getting hernias as we get older. But unfortunately, sometimes people can do all the right things and they're not doing any of that, and they just get hernias, and we're there to help fix them.
And what kind of symptoms would people start to notice if they have a hernia? I mean, I think I know there would be some kind of bulge or pain, but is there anything else that they should be looking for? Because, I would imagine I've not had one, but it's pretty scary when you might feel a lump somewhere.
Yeah, and it can be concerning, and people, start to notice, hey, I'm feeling a little discomfort at my belly button or groin, and they see this massive bulge.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times it's some pain, and they just see something getting bigger. In circumstances that we don't like to see, is people end up having severe pain. They have this big bulge they can't push back in. They start getting sick with nausea and vomiting. And sometimes when that starts happening, we start thinking, well, hey, what else is poking out into the hernia? Is it just fatty tissue, or is there a loop of bowel kind of sneaking in there and causing a problem? And that's kind of where it becomes a little bit more complex dealing with hernias, because then you're potentially having to do something with the intestine, which can be very scary, and unfortunately people can get very sick from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so they come in to see you. Is it a long wait to be able to get in with a surgeon like you, or, can they get in within 2 weeks?
Yeah, usually people can get in with 2 to 3 weeks. If there's more of an urgency, we're always willing to accommodate, have people come in so we can evaluate them. And a lot of times, if people call our office, depending on the symptoms, our nurses are fantastic at triaging people. And depending on what the symptoms are, sometimes we say that needs to go to the emergency room in the event you have an issue with the bowel, what they call incarceration or strangulated bowel, because then that's a surgical emergency. But yeah, people can at any point in time they can call our office. Fortunately, a lot of insurances allow for self-referrals. So even if people are concerned for hernias, just by talking to their buddies, they think, hey, I might have one. They call us, and we're happy to see them.
Good. So they come in and they see you. What kind of testing is done surrounding hernias? Like what kind of I guess is it blood work, imaging, ultrasound, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And that varies, and it all depends on the patient. Someone who comes in that has no real medical problems, they have an obvious bulge that you can see, pretty straightforward. Usually, we don't need any imaging testing. Sometimes we just do some preoperative blood work just to make sure that there's no problems when they go under anesthesia. And during that time, we schedule them for surgery, and find a date, and everything gets set. The other patients, sometimes you say, well, it seems like you might have a hernia. I can't tell whether it's factors of the type of hernia, such as something called a Spengelian hernia, which is a specific type of hernia that's on the sides of the belly. And the reason why it's difficult to examine is because the hernia has a layer of muscle that covers it on the outside. The inside layers have a defect, but it makes it kind of difficult to say, well, this might be a hernia just because there's a bulge there. That's when a lot of times we'll order a CAT scan. Or if someone has had multiple belly surgeries, you could just feel a lot of scarring on their abdomen. Or if they have obesity, it kind of makes it difficult to identify the hernia exactly, hernia size, if there's additional hernia. So that's when we resort to something like CAT scan imaging. As far as imaging goes, there's different things that you can do. Ultrasound can work from time to time. Usually, what they're looking for is peristalsing, so something going in and out of the hernia. They have discussed MRIs being something that you can see hernias with as well, because it looks better to soft tissues. But the diagnostic study of choice, if needed, from my standpoint, is going to be a CAT scan. It's a quick, easy test, three-dimensional X-ray. You can see things pretty clearly, and if you need it, it can show you what you're looking for.
All right, so you have the imaging, you have the testing, you have the diagnosis, then you schedule the surgery. I would imagine most of the time it's surgery.
A lot of times, sometimes people have what we like to call asymptomatic hernias. They just feel a bulge there, And they're like, well, hey, I got a lot of stuff to do this summer. I'm looking to repair it later. And depending on what their symptoms are, which if they don't have any or they just feel a bulge, I say, well, I think that's reasonable, but we need to watch it. And I tell them the signs. I say, if this pokes out, you can't push it back in. It start causing a lot of pain, nausea, or vomiting. You see redness at the site where the bulge is. That's something that needs to go to the emergency room. We need to take care of that before something could get worse. But yeah, it just all depends. There's many different modalities and ways to manage these.
Okay, so if you do have surgery, can you explain to people what robotic surgery is versus open surgery versus, I guess, minimally invasive? Do you want to take them through the different options? Because I would imagine no patient is exactly the same as another.
Absolutely. So there's the open option, which basically means that you make a cut, you fix the hernia that way. And there's different schools of thought about how to fix certain hernias. More commonly, hernias that we fix end up getting a piece of mesh, which is a screen to help buttress the hernia defect itself to help prevent recurrence rates. The open approach is not always the best for patients, especially if there's kind of a little bit of larger hernias. And the reason is because afterwards the pain aspect comes into play. Now, if it's a very small hernia at the belly button, where I say, well, hey, I can kind of just make a little incision and I think I can fix this. Sometimes you don't even need a mesh if it's small enough with a belly button hernia, then that's something that I would do. Then we start getting into the realm of what we call minimally invasive, like you had mentioned. Minimally invasive typically means we're fixing things through small cuts. Different ways to do that is laparoscopic or robotic. And people say, well, what is the difference between those methods? The difference is one is with what we like to call straight sticks or straight instruments. So we're doing everything through a small camera, through the small incisions, but we're using straight instruments that don't have the dexterity of our wrists. The benefit of doing things robotically is the robotic instruments, which we control, has the dexterity of our wrists, so we're able to get into things deeper if need be. You're able to suture easier robotically if that's something that needs to be done, and it allows for a little bit of better visualization. The robotic camera is 3D, and it really helps us see things. Sometimes, though, the hernias are too big. You say, you know what? This is not something that we can do minimally invasive. We have to do it open because it's too large to be able to complete minimally invasive. But then you start also, diving into the realm of hybrid repairs. Can you do a hernia that's open and laparoscopic, where you're able to do things to dissect and bring things together open, but then you go into laparoscopic and bring a big piece of mesh in there so that you can have good coverage of the defect. So there's a lot of different ways, and they even can get more complicated, especially when they're very large hernias, because then you start having to adjust things in the abdominal wall, separate different portions of the abdominal wall to bring things together. And because of the complexity that hernias can be, they even started to have additional training, fellowship training, specifically for large, complex abdominal wall hernias.
Wow, I mean, this is pretty advanced, and the care. I mean, even in your, I know you're young, but you're sort of like the perfect age for a surgeon because you're old enough to have the experience, but young enough to know all the technology. Even in your career, you've seen an advancement in this technology, haven't you?
100%. I mean, when I was a resident in my training, there were a lot of older surgeons. One of the hospitals, we never had robotics, so it was either open or laparoscopic. And historically, everything was done open. Laparoscopic started to come more into play, and you do some of those things. And then, even as things advanced further in my training and into my fellowship training with bariatrics, that's where the robotic platform became more popular, more common, and how we're traditionally managing hernias, where they used to do everything open, people would get admitted to the hospital. Now we're doing things laparoscopic or robotic, and there's same day surgeries, and people are going home. So it's a lot of advancements, and really, I feel like I was in that good time where I got to experience everything, because I think it's important to be able to know all the different modalities, know which one is best, and know how to treat patients accordingly.
Absolutely, because you may think you know going in for a robot-assisted surgery or a minimally invasive, and it's something that can't be handled that way, right? I mean, you have to have that experience and know what to do next.
Right. A lot of times we hope that it doesn't lead to that, but usually if there's any concern before surgery, I say, well, listen, we might not be able to complete it this way because of all the scar tissue, or the hernia is a little bit too big, or like we discussed before, doing a hybrid repair. As long as there is enough education for patients and they're aware of what they're potentially getting into, and even aware that they may have to stay in the hospital for a few days, depending on what we end up doing for pain control reasons and monitoring, they seem to be, accepting of everything that we need to do. But yeah, it can really vary on what we can see. And even sometimes, while CT imaging is good, I've had it before where on examination, concerned for a hernia, on imaging doesn't look like it, I go in there and I find a hernia. So nothing, fortunately, is 100%.
Well, I remember, so we didn't work together, but I ran marketing at the hospital for a long time. And so that would have been about 14 years ago when we started to promote the robot-assisted surgery. And it was a big headline that people were getting their hernia repair through their belly button and going home that day, right? And so that advancement in technology should probably put more and more people at ease who may be letting the hernia go. And that's part of Hernia Awareness Week, right? Just telling people that there are options and it is a relatively safe procedure that can really improve the quality of life. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, everyone, a lot of times when they come to the office, there's always a concern about, well, I've been, watching TV, or I've been looking up online. I always see these issues with mesh. And mesh has come a long way. Mesh is something that we most of the time use in hernia repairs, but the technology has advanced significantly over the past 20 to 30 years. Historically, when they'd fix hernias, such as groin hernias or inguinal hernias, they used to just always make open cuts, suture them. Hernias could come back. They do the same thing. Hernias would come back. They do the same thing. And then they started saying, well, hey, we don't want to keep going in there and
Right.
just doing these surgeries. We need to find another way. And that's where mesh came. The original meshes were very thick. They would stick to things. Sometimes they would cause obstructions. And then they started getting smart over the years, where they made them more porous, thinner, still strong, less likely to react with tissue. And the technology nowadays is a lot better. So the risk of having an issue with mesh, or in general with the repair, is very much on the lower side and compared to what it was. Typically, it ends up being in the less than 1% range.
So much better. And yeah, I do know that mesh sort of got a bad rap there for a while, but certainly I can understand the improvements. And I think you also have to weigh the fact that going back in for multiple hernia repairs can't be good for any abdominal wall, any part of the body, correct?
That's right. And, learning when I was in undergraduate school and even into, medical school, they always said, well, nothing is better than your native tissue. Anything that you have to repair tends to be weaker, even though you think, okay, when things scar, it's a lot thicker. The, biochemistry behind it, the tissues tend to be a little bit weaker. So if you're making multiple cuts over years and, those tissues just become weaker and more friable, and it's a lot harder to fix things. And then if you're adding in the other factors, such as smoking or extra weight, or if people have conditions that require them to be on steroids, a lot of that can affect how things heal and increase the chance of a hernia coming back.
That's great. Dr. Benfazi Elatrosh is a surgeon at Independence Health System. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some upcoming hernia screenings that are happening in the area, something that you may want to learn more about. I'm Jennifer Mealy, your host for Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. here with a wonderful guest today, Dr. Benfazi El-Atrash. He's a surgeon at Independence Health System. He has offices throughout Western Pennsylvania, and he's talking about June being Hernia Awareness Month. Now, you guys have some hernia screenings coming up. I can tell you that one is on Tuesday, June 17th at the Square at Norwin, and another on Wednesday, June 25th at the Square at La Trobe. So I know you're going to be at the event on the 25th, but both of them, registration is open. It starts at 6 p.m. You can go to independence.health/register to register for that event, or you can call 877-771-1234. So tell us what happens at a hernia screening.
So typically we give a presentation to kind of discuss hernias. Hernias are obviously very complex, so it's always difficult to, explain all the intricacies of every single hernia. But in general, we try to give an overview, and the important thing is to make things make sense. What exactly is a hernia? How do people get it? What are the different options for fixing it? And then if there's any potential questions, a lot of times that can be handled at the time. That way, when we're doing screenings, it tends to be physical exam related, answering any additional questions. And also we're discussing how things are repaired. And we determine that at the time of examination. Most of the time we're doing things minimally invasive, either laparoscopic or robotic. But again, the open surgery can be important and something that we have to do from time to time, especially when you have very large hernias that we just don't feel is appropriate for the small cuts.
Yes. So they can come in, they can register, they can come in, they can get checked out. And then what happens if you do find something suspicious? Are you going to get them scheduled, or how does that work?
So depending on what we feel, if we feel they have a hernia, but we need to get additional testing to understand the size of the hernia so that it's better for preoperative planning. That way, when we're going into something, we have an idea of what exactly we're dealing with, and we can, mentally have a plan when we go in there. Sometimes, though, if it's very straightforward, we say, "We got this. I think we can go in there and fix it." Then, right then and there, we order any testing that needs to be done. And usually we have one of our schedulers that is there and can help schedule surgery. And typically they look for dates depending on the days that we operate. And we all kind of operate on different days throughout the week. Depending on where and what we're doing, sometimes I will do open or laparoscopic hernias at Frick Hospital. If I'm doing robotic hernias or again, those modalities as well, I do them at Westmoreland. So there's different options and different places that we could do them at. And we work with patient schedules to make sure that we can give them whatever they need. And then if there's things that have to be taken care of with their work, we just tell them, bring whatever paperwork you need and we'll take care of it. That way you're all set and there's no issues on the day of surgery.
Nice. That's great. I have to say, every time I see your picture on a social media ad or, advertising for surgery on a billboard or something like that, I think about, because I'm a mom now with kids that are growing up, and how proud your parents must be of you, because you come from a medical family. You come from Western Pennsylvania. Why don't you tell people that story?
Yeah, so it started many years ago, obviously before I was born. I think it was my uncle who kind of came to the area to do his training in orthopedics. Eventually, my dad came over. Dad went to medical school in Mexico, and then he did residency in the town. If people remember Mansoor Hospital, that was in Gannett. That's where he did that, and that's where I was born. And then I just remember being a kid and being with my dad, and this was when, pretty much you could go on hospital rounds with your dad. I was 4 years old, and my dad would be telling patients, "This is my son, he's going to be a doctor."
Oh, I love that story.
And then, growing up, I always liked doing something with my hands and seeing that, hey, I was able to kind of do that and put that together. Now, I wasn't an expert in that regard, but with the love for medicine and something that I was always involved in, I always wanted to do something where I could fix things and see the instant gratification of, hey, I fixed that. I helped people. You know, I whatever problem they had, I fixed that. And that's where I found love for surgery. And that extended into me going for additional training in bariatrics so that I could continue to follow people, see their success with weight loss. And that's how I ended up here today.
It's wonderful. And you're coming back to serve the community where you grew up, and you're doing a wonderful job doing that and caring for the community. Now, I have to ask, is there another generation of doctor coming from your family, or is it too early to tell yet?
Right now it's too early to tell, but
Okay.
you always think about that, like, huh, if I have a son or daughter one day, maybe they'll follow in my footsteps and maybe we'll practice together one day. But we'll see what things get played out as.
That's fantastic. I love that story. Just great. And it makes me proud to be able to talk to you. I have to ask, though, how did the surgical specialty come about? How did general surgery versus, primary care or orthopedics or sports medicine or something like that?
Yeah, so my father, he was a primary care specialist, and my uncle, he was an orthopedic surgeon. Basically, I went into rotations. You know, originally I thought, I said, well, hey, I'm going to do neurosurgery or orthopedic surgery. I already knew I wanted to do some type of surgery. And then through doing my rotations with kind of working with some of the doctors, that's when they started doing robotic surgery. And you know, I really liked it. I saw the way that they were using the doing surgery, and then just how the robotic platform helped people, and that's what piqued my interest into general surgery. And then as I did my training in general surgery, that's where the spark came with bariatrics, which, you know, if we're talking about hernias, I think it does play an important role because weight loss is important in with people that have large hernias, so that we can prevent recurrences. So it just ended up working out in my favor, and I'm happy that I was able to come back to the area and provide care.
Absolutely. And also, I would imagine that you see a wide range of ages, correct? It's not predominantly one age group.
Correct. We're usually not doing pediatrics. However,
Right.
depending on how old they are, you know, sometimes if people are 14, 16, and they're, you know, a lot of times their size is more consistent with an adult, and those are people that we'll take care of. But yeah, we see anywhere from kind of lower ages and to very senior ages, so wide ranges, and we're, you know, happy to take care of whoever it is that comes into our office and that needs help.
And you were talking today about June as National Hernia Awareness Month. What's your message, right? That people just, they don't have to live in pain. They don't have to live in discomfort, right?
That's right. If there is any problems that you have where you're seeing a bulge, you're having pain, you're concerned about something, we have an answer for you and we can help. Surgery has come a long way. It's safe. Everything in, with regard of how we do it, the way we treat it, even the anesthesia that's given for it, it's a lot more safe than what it used to be. And a lot of times it's a same day procedure and people really get relief. If you want to make sure that your lifestyle is back to how it was before you started having hernia problems, we're here to help.
Now, Independence Health System has a general surgery event coming up. This is a hernia screening. That's Tuesday, June 17th. This one is at the Square in Norwood. Now, if you want to see Dr. Ben Fossey, you can go to the Wednesday, June 25th event. That's at the Square at La Trobe. So those start at 6 p.m. To register, you can go to independence.health/register, or you can call 877-771-1234. Dr. Ben Fossey, a Latrosha surgeon at Independence Health System, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, happy to be here as always. Thank you.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Thanks for joining us.